Hey, good morning, folks. How we doing? Everybody off to a good new year? All right, maybe it'll get better then, all right? Now, glad you're here. It's good to see you. I'm really excited about this year. I believe God's going to do some great things. He did great things in 23. We've seen tons of salvations, baptisms, people getting in community. We've seen people who have become heart and soul and really partnered with the mission here. We've seen God do awesome things. But I believe it's just the beginning. I believe this is a year that God wants to do more. And I wouldn't just say that. I really sense that in my heart. But if he's going to do that, it's going to take all of us. It's not going to be because of one person or a group of people, a small group of people. It's going to be because of the church, the body being the body. And my prayer would be that if this is your church, that this year we will engage in that mission in a way like we never have before, and that we will see God do even greater things than what we've seen before. There's a lost world, a dark world that needs the light, and we have the light of Christ within us to share with other people. And so I really want to encourage you to be in faith, to be in prayer for what God would have for us in this next year. So today we're starting this series, as John said, called The Domino Effect. And it's really looking at how one step of faith, one action can lead and will lead to a domino effect. It will continue a movement. It will cause dominoes to fall, right? And something greater than ourselves will happen. And so we're going to be looking at 1 Samuel. Go to the book of 1 Samuel, if you will. If you go to the front of your Bible, this is in the Old Testament. You're going to have to go to the right a little ways. 1 Samuel is a pretty big book, and so you shouldn't miss it. But 1 Samuel chapter 13 is where we're going to start. Now, I want to give you just a little bit of background here. Israel, the nation of Israel, that was chosen by God to bring forth Jesus, the Messiah, who would be the Savior of the world, Israel, this nation, was to be what's called a theocracy. A theocracy is a nation that is governed by God. That God would govern, that God would be the king of that nation, operating through priests. He would give his word to the priest would give the word to the people. This is how Israel has operated up until this point that we're reading about now. And so the people are being led by a man named Samuel. He is the priest of that day. And so he's getting on up in age. His children, his sons, are not following in his footsteps. They're not nearly as spiritual. They're not in the relationship with God. They're not living right. And so the people of Israel realize this. And so they go to Samuel and they say, give us a king. They say, we want to be like the other nations. We want a king to lead us. And so in this, they're really rejecting God as king, and they're rejecting this theocracy, and they're asking for a king so they can be like the other nations. But what we need to understand is they were to be set apart from the other nations because they were a nation who was in relationship with the one true God. And so we see them come and ask for a king. Now, the first king, the one that God tells Samuel to pick, to choose, to anoint as king, is a man by the name of Saul. This is not Saul of Tarsus that we read about in the New Testament. This is Old Testament Saul. He's the first king of Israel. And if you really read through the whole book of 1 Samuel, you'll see how tragic his life was. Saul was full of potential. He's the first king of Israel. But his life ends tragically with him falling on his own sword. You can go through and you see where he doesn't obey God's command. So first of all, God tells him that he will be the last king in his lineage. He's not going to establish his kingdom forever. And then later, he doesn't do the Lord's command again. And actually, David is the one then who's anointed to become king. And so his life that was so full of potential is really wasted. And so what we're going to look at today is fulfilling our purpose. We're going to look at taking our next steps of faith and how that can cause a domino effect. See, Saul was appointed king for one purpose, and that was to lead the Israelites into battle and to give them victory and freedom from their enemies. That was his one thing. But as we read these scriptures, you're going to see that the Israelites were fearful, They made poor decisions based off of their feelings. And we're going to see a domino effect that was created not by Saul, but by his son Jonathan. So let's read 1 Samuel chapter 13, beginning in verse 1. It says this: Saul was 30 years old when he became king, and he reigned over Israel 42 years. Saul chose 3,000 men from Israel. 2,000 were with him at Michmash and in the hill country of Bethel, and 1,000 were with Jonathan. Jonathan is his son, at Gibeah in Benjamin. The rest of the men he sent back to their homes. Jonathan attacked the Philistine outpost at Geba. So the Philistines were this arch enemy of Israel. They were in constant war with the Philistines. And the Philistines heard about it. Then Saul had the trumpet blown throughout the land and said, "Let the Hebrews hear." So all Israel heard the news. Saul has attacked the Philistine outpost, and now Israel has become obnoxious to the Philistines. So here we already see this sense of fear, this sense of fear that the Philistines are going to somehow come and attack and defeat them. And the people were summoned to join Saul at Gilgal. The Philistines assembled to fight Israel with, listen to this, the Philistines had 3,000 chariots, 6,000 charioteers, and soldiers as numerous as the sand on the seashore. They went up and camped at Michmash east of Beth Avim. When the Israelites saw, listen, they saw that their situation was critical and that their army was hard pressed. They hid in caves and thickets, again, operating in fear among the rocks and in pits and cisterns. Some Hebrews even crossed the Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. Saul remained at Gilgal, and all the troops with him were quaking with fear. And again, this feeling of fear. He waited 7 days, the time set by Samuel, but Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and Saul's men began to scatter. So he said, "Bring me the burnt offering and the fellowship offerings." And Saul offered up the burnt offering. Just as he finished making the offering, Samuel arrived, and Saul went out to greet him. Understand what's happening here is before they would go into battle, they would offer a sacrifice to the Lord, and they would seek his favor in the battle, that he would give them victory. Samuel was the priest. He was the one who was to come. Saul had been commanded not to make the sacrifice until Samuel got there. But Saul sees his men scattered. He's feeling like this is getting out of control. So he disobeys God, and he goes ahead and makes the sacrifice anyway. "What have you done?" asked Samuel. Saul replied, "When I saw," again, he saw this, "that the men were scattering and that you did not come at the set time and that the Philistines were assembling at Michmash, I thought, now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal. And I have not sought the Lord's favor." So listen to this. "So I what? I felt compelled to offer the burnt offering. You have done a foolish thing," Samuel said. "You have not kept the command the Lord your God gave you. If you had, he would have established your kingdom over Israel for all time. But now your kingdom will not endure. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart and appointed him ruler of his people." That would be David. "Because you have not kept the Lord's command." Now jump over into chapter 14, verse 6. So the Philistines, again, they're assembled to fight against the Israelites. Jonathan, Saul's son, this is where we get this term heart and soul. Jonathan, Saul's son, as Saul is just sitting under a pomegranate tree and not doing anything. Jonathan said to his young armor bearer, "Come, let's go over to the outpost of those uncircumcised men. Perhaps the Lord will act in our behalf. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few." Do you see the difference in the mindset, the attitude, the heart of Jonathan compared with Saul? Listen to what his armor bearer says. "Do all that you have in mind," his armor bearer said. "Go ahead. I am with you, heart and soul." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. It's true. Thank you for who you are. God, I pray that in Jesus' name, in the authority of Christ, that today, strongholds will be broken. I pray, God, that we would be able to see and perceive clearly what your will is for us, what your next step is for us, that God, we would not be a people who operate out of our feelings, but we would be a people who operate out of faith, that we'd be a people who operate out of your truth, that we would trust you, God, that we would lean into you, that we would put our ear to your heart to hear what you are saying, that we would listen to you, God, and do what you say. Father, I pray that even right now, your spirit would begin to stir. I pray right now that our hearts would begin to open to what you have to say to us. I pray right now that the giftings you've put inside of us will begin to be fanned into flame, that your gift of the Holy Spirit will begin to be fanned into flame as your word has been read and as we talk about your word, Lord. Would you allow that flame just to become a roaring fire inside of us? Your word tells us that you are a consuming fire. Would you consume us with love and passion and desire for you, and a love and passion and desire to glorify your name throughout the earth, one person at a time, Jesus. We thank you, God, for the ultimate sacrifice that you made for us. In light of that sacrifice, God, the reasonable thing we can do is offer ourselves as a sacrifice to you. God, would you take our lives and use them as you will? Would you give us the grace, your ability to do the things that we cannot do on our own? God, would you work in us and through us in greater ways this year, that we would see more people come to you, greater worship lifted to you, and that this earth would be filled with the knowledge of your glory. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And so as we look at this, we see really where Saul, who should be leading the charge, is not. He's scared. Jonathan, his son, who shouldn't be the one who's leading the charge, but should be following his father, the king, is the one who instigates this. And there's this domino effect that takes place. How many of you, when you were growing up, how many of you did not know that dominoes was a game? Anybody other than me? Didn't know. Yeah, you're like. Yeah, I had no idea. I thought dominoes were just things you stood up. I knew they had different dots and things on them, but I thought they were just things you stood up and tried to make really cool looking things where you tipped one over and they all fell, right? And so this is what we're talking about with the domino effect. I didn't know it was a game until probably like I was 25, right? And I heard somebody talking about playing dominoes, and I'm like, oh, that's a game. I only thought it was just something you set up. But in this case, we're talking about this domino effect. And in this, we see a domino effect. And what I want you to understand first about this is that steps of faith trigger eternal domino effects. Steps of faith trigger eternal domino effects. We see a domino effect right here with Jonathan. Jonathan sees these Philistines and they're gathered at this outpost. And he looks at his armor bearer and he says, let's go over to these uncircumcised Philistines. There's almost a righteous indignation that these are people who oppose the living God. And he says, let's go over and we'll go over and attack. And perhaps, he's going on a perhaps. He says, perhaps the Lord will give them into our hands. And it says that they go over and they climb up. And as they get there, that Jonathan is fighting and his armor bearer is coming behind him and he's killing as they go. It's like a scene from Gladiator or something. And they beat the Philistines. And all of Israel realizes this. And so they begin to rally. And because of what Jonathan did and his bravery, that the whole nation of Israel starts crawling out of these caves and holes and cisterns, and they begin to pursue the Philistines, and they overtake them, and there's this great victory. There was this ripple effect that went on because of what Jonathan did, because he stepped in faith and did something. We see this in Scripture. We see this in our own lives. See, I say this, and I don't want this to sound like I'm patting myself on the back or anybody else on the back here. But in 2008, I came home to Susan, my wife, and I said, I feel like the Lord is telling us to start a church. I thought she would tell me I was crazy. She didn't. We prayed for a month and a half, and in November of 2008, we met at our house. And God began to move. And this is the thing I can tell you. I had no business starting a church if you look at it from the world's eyes. I didn't know enough. I wasn't prepared enough. I never really even heard of like what it was to start a church. In fact, the first night we met, Susan said, How do we start a church? I said, I don't know. Cook some chili. We'll see what happens. That was our church planning strategy. But what we knew was that God had called us to take this step of faith. I would sit down with people at lunch and I would say, Susan, I feel like God's called us to start a church. And I would get one of two reactions. This was one of them. Just a stare, a blank stare, like, I don't even know what to say. The others would do this. They would sit down and they just eat. Just not even look up. And I know a lot of people were like, I don't know about this. But we knew we were supposed to do this. I didn't know what to do. I'd never read a book on church planting. I didn't know there were books on church planting. We were about 2 or 3 years into starting the church. I came across a book. It was called something like The 10 Landmines of Church Planting. I opened it up. I saw what the 10 landmines were. I was like, we hit every one of them things. I was like, I should have read this book. But God was with us. And from a step of faith, dominoes began to fall. And we've seen hundreds of salvations. We've seen hundreds of baptisms. We've seen churches started in Vidalia, Millen, Pooler. We've seen churches started in Dublin. We've seen churches started in Athens. The one is launching today, their first Sunday today in Wilkinson County. Dawn and Stanley Lane, they are starting this church in Wilkinson County. I said Wilcox, I think, in the first service, my bad. But they're starting this church there. So be in prayer for them. In a week or so, we've got a couple that's moving to Indonesia to start a church. It's incredible to see what God is doing. And so here's what I want you to see. Is that if you will take steps of faith, and if we especially will, as one person, one body, one people, will continue to take steps of faith together, we will see what Scripture promises, that God will do even greater things. I believe that with all of my heart, that God desires this domino effect to be even greater, that His glory would be even more known. That we would see the landscape of Bullitt County transformed. That we would see Georgia transformed. That we would see Indonesia transformed. That we would literally see what He promises in Habakkuk 2:14. That the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That is not an impossibility, because God promised it. And if God promised it and He says He'll do it, then He will do it. But He's calling us to be part of that. He's calling us to be His people. Now we are Christ on earth, and He's called us to carry out His work. Every step of faith that we take can trigger an eternal domino effect. I want you to understand this. Every single person in this room right now, right where you are, you have a next step of faith to take. There's always a next step of faith. There's a next step of faith to take. Everybody in here. And I want you to realize this, that every next step we don't take is a wasted opportunity to make an eternal kingdom impact. Every next step that we don't take is a wasted opportunity to make an eternal kingdom impact. And what often keeps us from taking these steps of faith is that we live from our feelings. We make choices from our feelings, not by faith. If you look at 1 Samuel 13, as we read through that, I tried to point out to you all the different places that we see them operating in their feelings and not in faith. We see they're constantly afraid. It even tells us that when Saul saw the men scattering, when they saw the Philistines assembling, when Saul saw that Samuel was delayed, it created emotion in him. It created feelings in him that caused him to make decisions that were not in line with God's will. See, we as believers are not called to be people who operate out of our feelings and make choices and decisions and take steps out of our feelings. We are called to be people who operate out of faith. We're called to be people who operate out of faith. We're called to discern and be intuitive about what God is leading us toward. And there's a big difference in discernment and operating out of our feelings. What we feel or deem is right, what seems right to us. Discernment is when we clearly perceive what God is leading us to do. We are sensing God's leading. We have put our ear to the heart of God and we sense His leading. Discernment differs from feelings because one, it comes from God. And two, listen, it comes from God, but it's also grounded in the truth of Scripture, not what we feel is true. So discernment is confined within the realm of Scripture, not based on my feelings. Feelings-based decisions are made by what seems right in the moment. Think about the word seems. It begins with see. We see something, so it seems that this is the right thing to do. I feel like this is the right step. The question is, have I discerned that it's the right step, or am I just taking this step because it seems like the right logical thing to do? If we only lean into our logic in our next steps, we will never take the steps that God's calling us to take, because many of the next steps God calls us to are not logical. Starting a church when you have a wife and two kids in the middle of a recession, when you've been in ministry for 3 years and only as a youth pastor, is not logical. But God doesn't always call us to do logical things. What He calls us to do is take the step of faith that He puts before us. See, feelings-based decisions are made by what seems right in that moment. Decisions and choices, listen, this is a lot, this is wordy, but I want you to hear it. Decisions and choices made through feelings are grounded in our perception, they're governed by our emotions, and they are able to exist outside of what God says through Scripture. So they're made through our feelings, which are grounded in our perception, what we perceive. They're governed by our emotions, just what we feel. And they're able to exist outside of Scripture. It may not even be biblical what we're feeling we need to do. Because maybe we feel backed in a corner. Maybe we've made other decisions that now we feel like I've got to make this decision. Maybe there's something that has come into our life and we're in this place of panic. And instead of trusting God and staying in faith, the right thing to do feels like blank. And so we take steps not in faith, but based on our feelings. I want to make this so simple. This is so simple. If feelings-based decisions are made by what seems right in the moment, here's how faith-based next steps are taken. And they're based on two simple things. Two simple things. Faith-based next steps are based on two simple things. The first one is this: listening to God. Listen to God. It's so simple. Listen to God. Put your ear to the heart of God. Press into God. Well, how do I hear God? You start to listen. You start to read His word and you begin to be able to discern if this is God or if this is not God. It's like a sheep learning a shepherd's voice. The sheep doesn't know the voice of the shepherd the first time the shepherd steps into the sheep pen. But after a while, he begins to know the shepherd's voice. And if the shepherd does right, then he begins to trust the shepherd. And God is always faithful. So as we begin to learn His voice and He begins to lead us places, we begin to follow because we begin to trust Him. We've learned His voice. So the first step is just to simply listen to God, learn His voice. The second is this, very simple, do what He says. Listen to God, do what He says. If we do that, then we will follow taking our next steps. And this is what I can tell you,
you will see a domino effect into eternity because of how God uses your life and uses our lives to do things that we could never do on our own, because his grace operates in his people, and his grace is his ability doing for us, in us, and through us, doing what we can't do on our own. So we look at this and we begin to understand that if our next steps are determined by our feelings, listen, if our next steps are determined by our feelings, we will rarely take them. If our next steps are determined by our feelings, we will rarely take them. And here's why. Because next steps always, in some way, require risk and they require sacrifice. And if I'm basing this off of my feelings, most of the time, I'm not going to take that step if it requires risk and it requires sacrifice. Why? It doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel good to take that risk. It doesn't feel good to sacrifice. But when we begin to trust God and we begin to understand who he is, we begin to understand that we can take that step of faith because we know who has us. We'll make that sacrifice because we have seen his mercy. As Paul says, in view of God's mercy, offer yourselves as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to the Lord. This is your reasonable act of worship. In view of God's mercy, offering ourselves as a living sacrifice is just the reasonable thing to do. But sacrifice doesn't always feel good. Here's the thing. I can't promise you. I can't promise you that when you take a step of faith, when you take that next step of faith that God's putting in front of you, I can't promise you that it's going to be easy and that it's going to feel good. We've had a lot of challenges and difficulties in the last 15 years. There's been a lot of times I wanted to walk in and say I'm done. If it weren't for some people in my life who were like, you're not done, I would have probably been done. But they're like, shut up, go back to work. But it's probably not gonna feel good all the time, right? There's gonna be challenges. There's gonna be difficulties. I can't promise you that everything will be easy because you take a next step, but this is what I can promise you. I can promise you, you will not have an eternal domino effect through your life if you don't take next steps. That I can promise you. I can't promise you it'll be easy, but I can promise you that your life spiritually and eternally will not have an impact that ripples into eternity without taking next steps, 100%. And here's the thing, and this is something that I'm passionate about. I'm passionate about seeing the potential in people and seeing that potential come to fulfillment. And so right now, what I don't want is I don't want one single person in this room to waste what God's put in you, because God's created you uniquely. He doesn't need you to be me, and he doesn't need me to be you. He needs you to be you and me to be me. And what he needs is to draw out of you what he's put in you so that the body becomes what it was intended to be. It becomes this force that hell can't stop, and it becomes a force that changes the landscape of the earth. But it takes all of us. The things that God has put into you, he can draw out of you. And in taking one step at a time, in just pursuing God, in just being compelled by his great mercy, being compelled by his great love, God can transform this world. Even this world we live in right now, one life at a time. One life at a time. I don't want us to waste it. I don't want to get to the end of my life and say, what if? I'd rather try and fail than not try at all. I'd rather you try and fail than not try at all. I don't want you to get to the end of your life and say, what if? I want you to get to the end of your life and realize I made no eternal impact. I don't want you to get to the end of your life and say, there's nothing to show, right? I watched the movie Elvis last night. How many of y'all seen the movie Elvis? Yeah, I'm not going to try to dance like that. But I watched it. And, you know, he gets to the end of his life, and he's sitting in this car on this runway, and Priscilla is trying to get him to go to this rehab place, right? And he tells her, he says, I'm about to be 40 and I've got nothing to show for my life. I haven't made a difference. I've done nothing that will last. And certainly his music still played. But think about that. I don't want to be there. I don't want to be on my deathbed. I don't want to be in that place where I know I'm about to go and see the Lord and have nothing to show for it. I want to have a lot of jewels in that crown, because you know what? I want that crown to make some noise when I throw it at his feet. We sang that song today. Have you ever really thought about what that song is saying? We fall down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. It means that all the things that we've achieved and that we thought were so good and we've received these rewards, when we see him, we're going to be so blown away that we realize I'm not even worthy of this, and we just throw it back at his feet. I want that thing to rattle around a little bit, right? And I want yours to as well. I want us to be a people who are on purpose, who are heart and soul together, who are willing to do whatever it takes to see people around us change and transform, to see people taken out of the kingdom of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of light, into the kingdom of God's Son, whom he loves. See, here's a challenging statement, but it's the truth. When we look at King Saul, Saul not taking his next step of faith and doing what he was appointed and anointed to do as king, it was due to a broken relationship with God. It was an indication that something was broken in his relationship with God. The fact that he was not taking that next step, that he couldn't walk in faith. There was something broken in his relationship with God. It's why God told Samuel, look, he's not going to last. His kingdom is going to be cut short. And I got this other guy, and his name's David. And David's not going to be perfect, and David's going to make some big mistakes. But here's the thing I know about David. David has my heart, and David has my mind. And if somebody just has my heart, and they just love me, and they'll pursue me, and they'll just abide with me, then I can use somebody like that. I don't need them to be perfect. I just need them to be available. I don't need them to have all the answers. I just need them to say yes to whatever I put in front of them. And Saul could never get that. And the issue with that was that Saul didn't know God. And if you don't know God, you can't trust God. And if you can't trust God, you can't take steps of faith in following God. But when you begin to know God and you begin to realize who he is and you begin to realize how faithful he is, then you realize I can trust him. And even when he asks you to do the thing that doesn't make sense, you say, yes, Lord, and you begin to step and you begin to see him do things that you never thought were possible. But here's what I'm telling you. If you're not engaged in the body of Christ, if you're not engaged in this relationship with Jesus, if all you are is a bystander, if all you are is someone who sits in a seat, then let me tell you this, you're missing it. You're missing it. You're missing it. You're never going to make a domino effect in eternity. And you were created, if you are in Christ Jesus, to make a domino effect. You were created to be a living stone being built into this glorious temple of the Lord for the earth to see and to shine brightly so that those who are caught in darkness can be delivered and brought into the light. You were created to be this living stone that's been put in place by God. The Bible says that he has set us in the parts of the body that he desires. You have a part to play. You're not intended to sit by idly and come listen to some loudmouth guy every Sunday scream at you and yell at you and try to get you to do what you don't want to do. You're intended to fall in love with Jesus and be compelled by that love of Jesus to do the things that Jesus leads you to do. He didn't know him, so he couldn't trust him. When you can't trust him, you can't walk in faith. You can't walk in faith. You can't take your next step. So here's where I want us to get to today as we look at this. I want us to be a people. God wants us to be a people who don't operate by sight, but we operate by faith. We don't operate by feelings. We operate by faith, that we're willing to take that step of faith that God puts before us. whether it's sharing our faith with someone at work, whether it's going to this Close the Gap session to learn more and be equipped to share your faith, whether it's being heart and soul, whether it's beginning to get into a connect group and be in community, whether it's starting to serve, whether it's starting to give, whatever it is, whatever God's calling you to. Maybe God's calling you to start a ministry. Maybe God's calling you just to start reading scripture intentionally, not because it's something you have to do, but so you can begin to spend time with the Lord. Maybe it's just a regular prayer time. Maybe it's starting to just communicate with your Father in heaven as you go throughout your day. I don't know, there could be thousands of next steps represented in this room, but here's what I would encourage you to do through scripture, through prayer, through community. Put your ear to the heart of God and discern what that next step is, and then pray for God to give you the grace, His ability to step into that, to take that next step and to do what He has put before you, because God has called you to be a part of this domino effect that He wants to do throughout the earth. Maybe for you today is that day of salvation where you realize that Jesus, He made the greatest sacrifice. Maybe today you realize, like, man, I need Christ in my life. I need to come to Him. I need to say yes to Him. Because here's what Jesus did for us. He came to earth and He lived a perfect life. He came and is God in the flesh. He lived this life that was perfect. And he gave His life up for us. He even said, no one can take my life from me. He said, but I willingly lay it down for you. And the one who was righteous became unrighteous so that we could have His righteousness. The Bible talks about how literally our sin was lifted off of us and placed on Him. And He went to this thing called a cross. And this cross was a sign of being cursed. And He took this curse so that we could become blessed by knowing God and having a relationship with God. And on that cross, He took the wrath of God for us that we deserve. He was condemned so that we could be accepted. And when we come to Him, not because we've made ourselves right, but because we realize we're not right, because we realize we're not as we ought to be, and we come to Him and we simply say, Jesus, I want You to be the Lord of my life. I want You to be my Savior. I need Your righteousness, and I need You to fill me with Your Spirit so that I can live the life that You've called me to live. And it's when Jesus comes into our life and He gives us a new heart, and it's a heart that's no longer bent towards sin, but it's bent towards a desire to please the Lord. And we see the love in His eyes. We see the love that He poured out for us on the cross. And we come to this place of being compelled by that great love to serve Him, to know Him. And so today, maybe for you, your next step is to step into the kingdom, to be transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, to simply say yes to Jesus. And here's what I'm going to ask, and I'll ask our prayer team, if you want to come on up and you come stand here so people can see you, some of our prayer teams here, if not some of our connect group leaders, if you could just come stand up here. Here's what I want to ask. If today's a day of salvation for you, then what I want you to do is I want you to come up to the front as everybody else is leaving. I want you to come up to the front. There's going to be people here to pray with you. All you've got to do is walk up and just say, today I've decided I want to follow Jesus. I'm surrendering my life to Jesus. I'm accepting what Jesus has done for us, for me. You can just come as everybody else is going that way. You make your way here and you just tell them, today I've decided to follow Christ. Let's pray. Father, I thank You. Thank You for the sacrifice You made for us. Thank You for Your faithfulness to us. Thank You for being so good to us. Thank You, God, that You are so good. I pray today that if anyone's here who doesn't know You, Lord, that You would open their eyes to see who You are. Just accept the sacrifice that You've made to take on Christ's righteousness, to literally be clothed in the righteousness of Christ, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and to begin to live a new life. God, I thank You for that. And I pray that as everybody else is leaving, that they would come forward to be prayed for, and as hands are laid upon them, Lord, to be prayed for, that Your Spirit would fill them and dwell them, and God, that they would know that they are a new person, a new creation. So, Father, we love you. We thank you. We honor you. We worship you. We give you all glory and praise because you, O Lord, are worthy. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you guys. If today's the day of salvation, you come this way while everybody goes that way. Hey, take your next step of faith. Let's get after it.